If you're visiting, we're studying through the book of Luke. I took a big chunk this morning to show the parallels, similarities, and differences in the stories. And we've got a bunch of people getting baptized tonight, so I'm just going to mention a few things about a verse we moved quickly through. To begin with, in verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. Now, for most of us, that doesn't mean much, but to Theophilus, end of verse 3, he's the Roman official that Luke is writing to, no doubt he would have known who Herod was and what he was like. Herod ruled under Rome over Judea for almost 40 years. He died in 4 BC. Before he died, he consistently made sure that no one usurped his throne prematurely, even to the point of systematically wiping out anyone who could possibly contend for his throne. He killed his brother-in-law, who was the high priest. He killed his favorite wife, his mother-in-law. He even, shortly before he died, killed three of his sons. To make sure they couldn't move in on his throne too early. So he is ruling when Jesus and John the Baptist are born. No wonder it's not difficult to imagine him wiping out the firstborn males in Bethlehem, because that was just his normal way of doing things. And if anyone was threatening his throne, he would eliminate them. So skip over to verse 15. And imagine John the Baptist being born under his reign, and then Gabriel announcing to Zacharias that this is what's going to characterize John the Baptist's ministry. First of all, his character, verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him, God, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Well, what does that look like? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So his character is great in the sight of the Lord, and those other things listed in verse 16. His mission or commission or ministry is, verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And the nature of that ministry is, verse 17, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. That means his lifestyle, his manner, his boldness will be similar to Elijah. And then Gabriel quotes Malachi 4, describing the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And that's the part I want to focus on just for a few minutes. What does that mean? There are a lot of different options that commentators throw up for this. One is that it's more of a covenantal turning, like the fathers there are referring to Father Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the children are the disobedient people who are turning back to them, to the Lord. And that could work. I'm not going to go into all the explanation of that. I think there's a better, simpler explanation, and that is simply that what Gabriel is predicting is both a horizontal restoration and a vertical restoration. Do you see that there? The spirit and power of Elijah is going to affect both horizontal relationships, turning hearts of fathers to their children, and vertical relationships, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. there is a transformation going on in all of our relationships as we are made ready, or in this time, these people are made ready by John the Baptist's baptism of repentance for the Lord, prepared for the Lord. Now, obviously, as Jesus explained in Luke 16, John the Baptist was still preaching during the period of the Law and the Prophets. The kingdom of God, as Jesus described, began. The period of the Law and the Prophets ended with John the Baptist. The kingdom of God was manifested in Jesus Christ. So in a sense, John the Baptist is the final prophet preparing the way for the kingdom of God to be manifested in Christ. And the way he does that is by preaching vertical and horizontal repentance and restoration. And it's really interesting because in Luke 16, verse 16, Jesus explains that, how John the Baptist is the end of the period of the Law and the Prophets. But then in verse 18, he goes right on to preach about marriage and divorce. In other words, he's illustrating the fact that there is a vertical transformation that occurs, but then there's also a horizontal one. This is extremely important for us today. This was just last week in World Magazine. They had an article, December 9th, 2006, entitled Experimental Kids. The subtitle is, "It's a brave new world of alternative family models, but some lopsided children are beginning to speak out about what they missed growing up." Pretty powerful article. Begins with 7-year-old Katrina Clark, who has recently written what it's like to grow up in this brave new model of family as a kid who was artificially inseminated and proud of it early on, but now wondering what's going on with my family. 2006 report that just came out entitled "The Revolution in Parenthood, the Emerging Global Clash Between Adult Rights and Children's Needs," talks about as we redefine what family is, that may look really good for adults who want to have all sorts of freedom and alternative lifestyles, but it is absolutely destroying the next generation. And for the first time in history, and let me make this real clear, families have always been dysfunctional. Okay, we clear about that? Your family is dysfunctional. My family is dysfunctional. We all have a long way to go. So we have to be clear about that. What we're talking about here is not that this is something new, that families are dysfunctional. That's always been around. The difference today is it's being lauded and praised as good. I mean, it's a good thing that we are dismantling this antiquated concept called family. It's a good thing that dad can go off and do his own deal and mom can be her own woman now. That's a good thing. That's what's new, is heralding something that is incredibly destructive as beneficial and good. And that's what these reports are revealing as destructive. In Spain, where same-sex marriage was recently made legal, the legislature voted to replace the terms mother and father with progenitor A and progenitor B. I mean, there's just pages of this kind of nonsense, and that's supposed to be progressive. In a book written by a young lady who was raised in a homosexual home, it's an autobiography entitled "Out From Under, Getting Clear of the Wreckage of a Sexually Disordered Home." This is the first time in history we actually have children who were raised in these supposedly wonderful new models of family that are now old enough to speak up about the destruction. And it will be generations before we see the full damage of this kind of thing. So it is significant that right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, a man by the name of John the Baptist comes along and proclaims the ministry of Christ, prepares the way for the ministry of Christ by calling fathers to step up and be dads to their sons and daughters, by calling mothers to receive that sacred calling to which God has given them as mothers and children in response to their parents. The quotation from Malachi says it both ways, fathers to the children and children to the father, which is huge. So what is this saying? When we come to Jesus, when we have been broken through this baptism of repentance, in other words, the Holy Spirit has broken us to the place where we see the need of Christ, there is a repentance in regards to the vertical. First of all, we repent of our sin against God. But then there is also a transformation in our horizontal relationships. Whatever your social standing is, whether you're a child, an adolescent, whether you're single, whether you're married, a son or daughter, whatever, it's going to affect the way you do family, the way you view family. And that's huge. As we begin our journey through the Gospel of Luke, we're going to see this illustrated in so many different ways through this message. So let's pray together. And those who are getting baptized can step out now. Lord, we thank you that when you came to this earth, you were born into a family. And it's interesting that your family was, even from the beginning, dysfunctional. It was not a normal family. And we thank you, Lord, that you have come to bring about transformation in the wreckage that our culture has caused, that we have caused. We can take your good gifts of life and childhood, of adolescence, of singleness, of marriage, of parenthood, and we can pervert them and destroy them. But when we come to you, Lord, we suddenly have a yearning to be the kind of son or daughter, the kind of husband or wife, the kind of single person, whatever you've called us to, we want to be that in your spirit, in love and truth, as you designed us, not according to some kind of brave new model that our culture desires to create with all the damage that follows. So, Lord, we thank you for your word that gives us guidance, because without it, we would be hopeless. We can't figure this out on our own. We can't put the pieces back together on our own. And Lord, we thank you that now we get to hear testimony after testimony of your grace to find broken lives and to begin that miracle of restoration before you and before one another. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.